Expressions from St. Paul is listener supported. We ask that you pray on sowing a seed into this ministry and help us take the good news of the gospel all over the world. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us in his 47th year here at St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Friends, on this past Sunday, we celebrated 70 years as a church body here at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And we brought in from Fort Worth, Texas, Reverend Maverick Gayden, who pastors the Pilgrim Valley Missionary Baptist Church. And the title of his message was plain and simple, Lemonade.
See, lemonade it basically only has three ingredients. They're the lemons, the water, and the sugar.
And he expresses that lemons are the problems that we go through. The water is the praise that we give God right in the middle of those problems. And the sugar is Jesus. Friends, if you have your Bibles, let's open them together to the 100th Psalm. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Let's now transition into the sanctuary and let's join this celebration already in progress.
People of God are worshiping. See, that's a difference. That's a difference. Worshipers don't come to church, but church comes to worship. And I'm thankful today that the worshipers are here. We were impressed from the time we drove in on the parking lot and circled around at 9 o'clock looking for a parking space. My God. And I brought my wife with me this time, and I'll get to that. Because I've been talking about you all so much. And when she drove up and saw all of you here already at 9 o'clock, it was like Queen Sheba talking about Solomon in his temple, said the half has never been told. So we are grateful. And let me introduce my wife. So just Kathy, could you just wave? She's standing. All right, that's mine. That's mine. So brothers, if you've been looking, just let me tell you, that's mine. And I just look like this. I'm letting you know. We're excited to be here, and I want to tell you, I'm so thankful to be worshiping with her, and it's different for us to be worshiping, and our sons aren't with us, and they desire to be here, but they, because of scheduling conflicts, they couldn't be here today. But brothers, I want to tell you, it's always good to have the rib with you. And I'm saying this publicly, I say it privately, that's my best friend, and she's always by my side, and Pastor, we had a conference at the church, and the sisters thought they had me hemmed up and said, if there was such a thing as reincarnation, Pastor, what would you come back as? Brothers, y'all better hold on to this one. I told her, well, they were looking at all the other brothers saying all this other stuff. I said, well, if I could believe in reincarnation, I would come back as a tear that's born and conceived in her heart, given birth through her eyes, spend my life resting against her cheeks and dying against her lips. That's benediction time. Now let me take care of my business, because you all didn't send for me to come and talk. I need to take it. I was impressed with everything I've seen so far. From the time they marched in with that drum line, and this mass choir, thank God for you. And all of y'all hadn't been saved all your life. I can tell by the way you were moving. So we are. Brother Newsom, thank God for you being here with us. He promised. He didn't promise. He kind of hinted towards. That's what would happen, and I'm grateful to see him. That brother and I, we go back a long time. We served our church so long. We weren't on a payroll. We just did it out of the goodness of our hearts, and the brother taught me and showed me how to be a true servant in the church. So I'm grateful for him and his leadership. There's a brother I just keep pointing out. There's something special about Jeremiah Williams. Thank God for him also. Amen. I'm getting there. Where's the saxophonist? He's back there. Let me tell you, we met this brother indirectly last night. We were at the same hotel. We were eating dinner together. We were in booths next to each other. And we were impressed by he and his wife being together even last night. The conversation, the way he interacted with everyone, the way he treated, the way we complimented him last night. Then, lo and behold, we walk in the office this morning, and there he is again. I'm getting all of this out of the way. Now, I'm putting in a request because when they called me, Sister Felicia Johnson, where are you? Okay, I want to compliment her. She's been working diligently to coordinate everything with a difficult pastor because when she called and said, we're working on the program, I said, she's talking about flight arrangements. There she is. She's flight arrangements. I said, Sister, I've already done that. She talked about somebody to pick me up. I said, Sister, I've already got that. And I just took care of all of that on my own expense because I wanted to be here today. I'm saying this. I'm just saying. Back home, they told me today is my 10th anniversary as being a pastor of Pilgrim Valley. So they were planning some stuff. I said, well, y'all plan what you want. My cousin needs me to preach for him at St. Paul. Y'all want me, he needs me. Now that means more, so here I am, amen. Here I am. Amen. The only thing I need today, I need another one of these pens, because that tear over there, she's gonna take mine, I already know. And another one of these programs, because I've been writing and stuff all over this one, so somebody's gonna hook a brother up, I know. Now, I want to take care of this before I do what the pastor's asked me to do. We came bringing gifts too. Now, mine don't light up. Well, y'all make a brother. Ooh, saxophone player, and then the lights and all that. But we wanted to bring something to remember us from, and Texas as well. But we brought a commemorative plaque that says, congratulations, Pastor Dr. Ephraim Williams and the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church celebrating 70 years of worship and praise from Pastor Maverick D. Gayton and the Pilgrim Valley Missionary Baptist Church of Fort Worth, and is formed in the shape of Texas. Now, you all have been messing him up all day, I want to tell you this. And I want to take one last stab at him. Pastor, I'm breaking rules and protocol here, but Pastor, my earthly pastor passed away several years ago, And we believe that every pastor ought to have a pastor. So I'm unofficially adopting myself to your pastor and announcing that this man of God, this mentor of mine, is my pastor. I think I've got everything out of the way. But you all have been here 70 years. And in 70 years, you probably had some troubles. Don't act like you didn't have some disappointments. But you're still here. Somebody might know what I'm talking about. One of my cousins wrote a song and said, "Heartaches, I've had my share of heartaches, but I'm still here. Trouble, I've had my share of troubles, but I'm still here. Bruises, I've taken my lumps and bruises, but I'm still here. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say, yeah, loneliness? I've had my loneliness, but I'm still here. But here's the part I like about it, oh, but through it. Blessing that's already come our way. But Father God, our prayer is now that you remove the servant out of the way so that others may see and hear you speak even in this place. Father God, our prayer is through the power of preaching that the non-believer begins to believe, that the backslider returns, that the lost becomes saved and the saved be blessed. When you have your way in this place, Father God, remind us to give you the glory. This we ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. And his people said, amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God again. And I've got your theme. I've got your theme. And if it's all right today, I want to use just a few minutes to work on that theme. Coming from the 100th number of Psalms. One of the most familiar passages of Scripture. I thank God for those of you that's able to stand for the reading of the Word. And if you have access to a Bible, I pray that you would hold on to it and look at it, because at Pilgrim Valley, we have a motto: I read sounds better than Pastor said.
Amen. Bye, bye, bye.
The 100th number of Psalms. And I thank God for all of these ministers of the gospel that are here today that share in this awesome task of preaching God's holy word. Are we there yet? 100th number of Psalms. I'll read it in its entirety. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep, or his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Today, for your 70th anniversary, we want to lift up the message, lemonade. Lemonade. Brothers and sisters, immediately when we gave the title of today's message, the church became segregated into three different groups. There's one group that heard the title and already connected with the other meaning of the word, probably that young group over there. Then there was another group that heard the subliminal title and thought, does the pastor, does the preacher even know that there's another meaning to that word lemonade? Then there's another sector that had no clue why others are laughing and cheering at a simple term such as lemonade. So in order for us all to ride together on the same bus and arrive in the same place, allow me to deal with the latter and bring that to the form, and then those in the center can join all of us together, if that's all right tonight. So those of you that do not understand, lemonade is a term that the urban community has adopted now based on the R&B singer Miss Beyoncé Knowles. Miss Beyoncé Knowles introduced a collection, a collaboration of songs, and she put it together and she titled it Lemonade. Lemonade was the story of her life. Lemonade was, it described in transparency her ups and her downs. She talked about her childhood. She talked about her success. She talked about her disappointments in life. She even talked about her husband and his infidelity. She introduced you to somebody by the name of Becky with the good hair. Yes. She talked that she was as transparent as she could be. She told all of these stories about all the things and the struggles she had gone through. Put them all together in a collection of songs. But in the midst of it, she also said that her grandmother taught her something about life. She says sometimes life is going to deal you some lemons, and it's up to you to make lemonade. So today we want to talk about making some lemonades, because we all know that somewhere in life all of us have had some disappointments. We know that in life all of us have been dealt some lemons sometimes in life. Oh, y'all want to sit like y'all don't have some lemon situation. Can I just bowl down your alley a little bit? Can I just dip into, because we've all had some lemon moments. Some of you have worked on some lemon jobs where there's been, instead of a supervisor, you've had a stupervisor. You had a manager that could not manage, a director that would not direct. You've had a lemon job. Some of you drove in on the parking lot today driving a lemon car, hoping that it would make it from one point to another. You know something about some
some lemons sometimes. Some of you are working and living in a neighborhood with some lemon neighbors, keeping you up all night long, arguing all night, won't cut their grass. You know who they are. Don't talk about. Some of you have some lemon relatives in your family, the ones that won't do right, won't act right, but expect more than anybody. Or if you're sitting next to them, don't say amen. Just kind of wink at me. And I got you. All of us have had some lemon moments, some lemon finances where you seem like the month runs out before your money runs out. You've had somebody know something about. And then there's some of you that's been involved in some lemon relationships. Lemon relationships. Oh, yeah. Can I just talk to the sisters first? Some of you sisters that's been involved in some lemon relationships that made you feel just like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. Y'all do remember Dorothy. Look at Dorothy. All she hung out with was some losing brothers. One brother had no brain, so he didn't know how to love her. One brother had no heart, so he could not love her. One brother had no courage, so he could not commit to her. And at the end of the story, she wound up with a dog. Lemon situations. And brothers, don't act like you too, brothers. Some of you brothers, you thought you had the one. You looked upon her. She had a fine brown frame. She was thicker than a snicker. You thought she was everything that you desired. As a matter of fact, you told the fellas you found a brick house. But I want to ask you a question. What good is a brick house when there's no furniture upstairs? It's all right to talk back. It's all right to talk back to me. You've had some lemon situation, and then we live in a country where we have a chief executive officer, if it's all right, that's running around acting like a lemon himself, talking about he alone is going to make America great again. Can I just tell y'all something? The America that I live in, I can live where I want to live. I can go to any school that I want to go to. I can buy anything I want to with the wealth that I have within my disposal. My children, they can marry anybody they want to. You can have any job that you go to and go to school enough to learn to. You can come to worship in any place that you want to without any threat upon your life. The way I figure, America ain't so bad right now. Maybe number 45 need to fix his own life before he tries to fix my life. But that's a lemon situation. So Miss Beyonce put all of this together and called it my collection, my collaboration of songs about troubles, and she called it Lemonade. But I want to tell y'all something. I didn't come here to preach about Beyonce. I came to talk about somebody else with a name like that. I came to talk about somebody that's got a greater name than Beyonce. So because when you look at the 100th number of Psalms, it's just like her collection. The 100th number of Psalm does not stand by itself. The 100th number of Psalm is a collection of songs that have been collaborated together, starting with Psalm 95 up to 100, and it comes and they put them all together because they all represent a time in the psalmist's lifetime that he was struggling. Now, the Psalm 100 number of Psalm is attributed to David, and y'all know David had some problems in his life. He had Saul chasing after him. He had a man killed he had to deal with. He had a woman that he had an affair with. All of this he had to deal with, but yet later on he was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he had, in the midst of it, he had some struggles that he had to deal with. So what did he do? He put pen to paper and began to sing these songs, and beginning and ending with that 100th number of Psalms. But when he got to Psalm 100, that's the shortest of all of the rest of the collection. It's almost as if he's saying, now let's make a long story short. Because I want to tell you, when he said, let's make a long story short, because what he did, he gave us some commandments, what we ought to do as believers, what he told us, some things that we ought to be doing as a believer. He started off and said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the... Wait, I got to find my shouting section. Make a... That's an intentional reaction. He said, that's not an involuntary reaction. He said, but you ought to come together and desire to make a noise for the Lord. See, I don't understand folks that God has blessed and you want to sit on your frozen chosen all the time. I don't understand folks that God has delivered out of something and you never want to give God the glory. See, there ought to be some folks making noise all the way down I-5. There ought to be some noise being happening outside of the grocery store. There ought to be some noise being made even when you're on your job. There ought to be some noise in your neighbor. If the Lord has been good to you, you ought to act like it. You ought to act like he's delivered you from drugs. You ought to act like he made a way out of no way. You ought to act like he saved your soul. You ought to act like God woke you up this morning. See, that's what we take too much for granted. If the Lord has waken you up this morning, if he gave you breath to breathe, he put it in his word, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Can I just do an exercise? Breathe in. Now breathe out. You've got breath. You ought to be praising the Lord. You ought to be praising the Lord. See, if you woke up this morning, you ought to be praising the Lord. If you got up this morning, if you got up in your right mind, you ought to be praising the Lord. If you didn't try to comb your hair with your toothbrush, if you didn't put toothpaste in your coffee, if you didn't try to put your sock on over your shoe, you in your right mind. You ought to be praising the Lord. He said, make a joyful noise. And don't miss that joyful. See, you don't have any right to come in God's house complaining. You don't have any right to come in to God's house murmuring and being upset because you don't run things. God is in control. So every time God gives you an opportunity to worship him, you ought to be happy about it. Oh, y'all want, it's all right. It's all right. My flight don't leave till tomorrow. I'll make it plain for you. If these sports teams can get excited, and I watch these sports teams, they get excited. They get excited. And they hadn't even scored. But I watch him. Y'all remember Deion Sanders? Deion Sanders would catch an interception, and he'd run down the sideline, but he hadn't scored yet. He'd be running down the sideline. He knew nobody could catch him, but he hadn't crossed the finish line yet. He hadn't crossed the goal line yet. But before he get there, he start dancing. He hadn't got there yet, but he'd already be. I'm trying to tell somebody something today. If your blessing hadn't come yet, you ought to already be dancing. If your blessing hadn't shown up yet, you ought to already be giving God some glory based on the fact that he came through the last time, based on the fact that he showed up the last. You ought to give God some glory. I know what it is. Here it is. But when this psalm was written, if you take note, and I know where I am. I'm in St. Paul. There's been good preaching here for ever 70 years, especially the last 46. Good preaching and teaching. So here I am. This is for the rest of y'all. This is for the visitors that don't understand. What the psalmist did, he collected and gave us 7 commands. Ooh, don't miss that. There's 7 commands of action that he told us we ought to do. We ought to make a joyful noise. We ought to serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to come before his presence with singing. We ought to know that he is God. Ooh. We ought to enter into his courts. We pray. We ought to be thankful. Then we ought to bless his holy name. That's 7. That's 7 commands. Pastor, are you the 7th pastor here? By count, I was looking. He said 2 of them weren't really pastors. So out of the 9, if you eliminate 2, that makes 7. He's the 7th pastor. But here it is. See, in any time you see in the Bible the number 7, you ought to pay attention. Anytime the Bible mentions something seven times or use a reference of seven, you ought to pay attention. See, because that's God's number of completion. I know y'all know that I'm talking to the visitors. Now I'm talking to those that don't know, those that aren't members of St. Paul, that hadn't been under this teaching. All see the number seven, that's the number that God, he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. But on the seventh day, he stood up. He looked out, stuck his chest out, patted himself on the back and said, "It's good." That's the seventh day. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he made the earth where it had seven continents. And those seven continents, there are seven seas. When he made the human face, there are seven parts to the human face. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and a big old mouth. He did that. That's the way he works with that number seven. But if you look down, in these musicians will tell you, there are seven notes in a measure of music. Do, re, mi, fa, sa, la, and back to D, T, do. That's what he's saying. There's seven notes in there. Seven notes in there. So when God started dealing with the number seven, even in the Bible, you'll notice what it took Noah 7 days to fill the ark. There were seven priests with seven trumpets that marched around Jericho wall seven times for 7 days. But on the seventh day, on the seventh time that they marched around, they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. Y'all got to know, Job had seven sons. You got to know, there's seven feasts of the tabernacles. There's something about that number seven. John had and recorded seven miracles. That's what he did. John, in there, they're written seven I ams of Jesus Christ. The early church had seven deacons. The baskets that were left over after the multitudes were filled was, okay, we know what it was. There were seven. Oh, somebody gonna get with me in a minute. In Revelation, there's seven churches. Seven angels, seven plagues, seven candlesticks hold. There's something about that number seven. So when he said there's seven different things we ought to be doing, we ought to be paying attention. Because what's happening? See, lemonade is it basically only has three ingredients. There are the lemons, the water, and the sugar. Lemons are the problems that you deal with. So you're saying, and I hear you, in my black African-American Southern Baptist eavesdropping preaching imagination, I imagine you asking me right now, what is the water? The water are the contents of this praise. When you start praising God, troubles start watering themselves down. When you start giving God the glory, troubles start diminishing. See, you can't complain and praise at the same time. So when you start praising God, troubles start. Okay, here we go. He said there's seven things you ought to be doing. Then he said, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. But then he said, know ye that the Lord, he's God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. Can I just be honest now? I'm glad that the Lord made me. I'm glad that it was God that made me. Because if I had made me, I'd be 6'7". I'd be the fastest man on earth. I'd be playing for the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball at the same time. And on Sunday mornings, I probably wouldn't have time to even be here worshiping with you because I'd be too busy losing my soul and trying to gain the world. But God made me in my limited capacity because he gave me just what I need in order that I could keep on praising him. And I want to tell somebody here today, God has given you just what you need in order that you can praise him. You don't have to be jealous of anybody else's gift. You don't have to be envious of anybody else's talent. If God gave you what he gave you, use it for his glory. Know that it is he that made us and not we ourselves. And because he made me, I'm glad about it. It is he that made us. It is he that made us. It is he that made us. And because he made us, he will keep you. It is he that kept that judge from sentencing you. It is he that allowed the attorney to say the right thing things in court. It is he that kept that jury from convicting you. It is he that kept that principal from expelling you. It is he that kept that teacher from flunking you. It is he that kept that drive-by driving by your house. It is he that kept on waking you up in the middle of the night saying, I'm here with you. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. He says, he that made us and not we ourselves. Then he moved on and said, enter into his courts. Come before his presence. Well, then he said something that we all ought to pay attention to. He said, be thankful. Be thankful. And Pastor, you know what's, that's what's wrong with too many of us. We're not thankful. As soon as God blesses us with a two-car garage, a lawnmower, and an edger, we forget about where we've come from. You, St. Paul, it didn't always look like this. St. Paul wasn't always like this. St. Paul had to come from some rough times. St. Paul had to be lied on. St. Paul had to be talked about. The haters had to hate on St. Paul. The enemies had to rise up against St. Paul. This lot that you parked on right now, it didn't always look this way. I know what used to be here. Thanks be to God. Won't he take what the enemy is holding on to and bring back for his glory? It didn't always look like this. But you ought to be thankful. For whatever little thing God has given you, you ought to be thankful. If God has given you one friend, be thankful. If God has given you 50 cents over a dollar, you ought to be thankful. If you may not have the job that you want, but you have a job, be thankful about it. May not be the one that you want to be with, but love the one you with and be thankful for the one that you have. But we have to be grateful, be thankful, and bless his holy name. Oh, there we go. There we go. Now we've got lemons and we've got water. But he said, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Yes. Choir, can y'all help me? They're stuck in here. Bless his holy name. Oh, I know what's wrong. We don't know his name. That can be a problem. His name means something. See, if you're going to get excited about his name, you got to know something about that name. See, Moses said, I know a little bit about that name. Moses talked about it, said, when I had to go and fight a battle against the Amalekites, and when I lifted up my hands, we were winning the battle. But when I dropped my hands, the tide changed and momentum shifted. But I had two brothers by the name of Aaron and Hur. They came along and lifted up my arms. And then we won the battle. And Moses said, because I don't have a banner, he is now a nickname called Jehovah Nissi. He will be your banner. But Abraham would say, oh no, I've got another name for him. Abraham would say, when I had to sacrifice my son Isaac, he said, well, I brought him up to the mountain. I brought him out into the wilderness. I drew the sword back and got ready to kill my son. But an angel stopped me and held me up and said, there's a ram that's tied in the bushes. That's when I gave him a nickname and said, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. Gideon would say, when I had too many soldiers and I had to back off, God became a name for me because he stood there for me. Somebody's going to say, I know a name for the Lord. Somebody's going to say, whatever he's been for you, that's what he ought to be. But when he told Moses wanted to know, who am I going to say sent me? He said, tell him, I am that I am. He said, that's my name. I am that I am. Now, I can't correct God, but that's a subject that does not have a predicate. He said, because names are meant for people, and it's not for God, because there's no name that could hold God. I am that I am. Tell him, I am that I am sent you. When you say I am, the atmosphere changes. When you say I am, enemies got to back off. When you say I am, something's getting ready to happen. You got to be careful what you put behind your I am. Because everything you pronounce after your I am becomes your you is. You got to know his name. Who is this that we got to bless with the holy name? Can I just help y'all out? That name. That name. That's Adam's Redeemer. That name. That name. That's Abel's Vindicator. That name. That name is Abraham's sacrifice. In that name, that was Moses' burning bush. That name became Noah's ark. That name became Gideon's fleece. That name alone became Samson's power. Anybody know that name? That name became David's music. That name became Solomon's wisdom. That name became Jeremiah's balm in Gilead. That name became Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. Anybody know that name? That name became the rose of Sharon. That name became the lily of the valley. That name became the bright and the morning star. That name became the day spring of Israel. Anybody here know that name yet? That name became God's only son. That name became John and Jude's older brother. That name became James' half-brother. That name became Mary's little baby. Anybody know that name yet? That name became Lord of Lords. That name became God of Gods. That name became King of Kings. Is there anybody here today that's ready to hear that name? That name that stayed with me whenever I got lonely. That name became Matthew's King. That name became Mark's servant. That name became Luke's physician. That name became John's word that came alive. That name became Acts coming of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here today that knows something about that name? That name became a way out of no way. That name became a burden bearer. That name became a faithful and a true witness. That name became Alpha and Omega, the beginning as well as the end. Is there anybody here today that knows something about that name? He is a distinctive and supernatural capacity. That name became superlative in sovereign majesty. That name became exclusive in spiritual beauty. That name became radiant in eternal splendor. That name became matchless in supernatural power. Is there anybody here today that knows something about that name? He's the Prince of Princes. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Is there anybody here today that knows something about that name? He's the only one. He's the only one. He's the only one that ever stepped into death and came out of death and still talking about it. He's the only one that ever lived, died, and lived again and still living. He's the only one that ever opened the grave from the inside out. He's the only one that was both older and younger than his own mother at the same time. Anybody know that name? That name that walked out on water. That name that healed the blind. That name that gave hearing to the deaf. Anybody know that name yet? Or y'all want to act like y'all don't know that name? Y'all want to act like y'all don't know that name? Who else could do what that name did? At that name, demons had to tremble. At that name, folks had to get right. At that name, salvation came. Oh, bless his holy name. Is there anybody here today ready to talk about that name? He's the only one that starts the race at the finish line. He's the only one that reads the book from the back to the front. He's the only one that starts a movie with the end and works his way to the beginning. He's the only one, when you talk about history, he said, oh yeah, I remember that. That name. That name. That name. He adds. He adds by subtracting. He gives by taking away. He multiplies by dividing. I'm talking about that name. Ooh. Oh my. Some call him a rock mama. A rock in a weary land. Can I just tell you something about that rock, Charles? They took that rock and they put that rock in a grave that was made out of rock. Then they took a rock and closed the rock with the rock. But the rock that was inside the rock that was sealed by the rock started to rock the rock that was outside the rock. That name. I'm about to go. I'm about to close. But I got to tell you about that name. I got to tell you about that name. There's something about that name where the people of God ought to get excited. There's something about that name where we have hope when there is no hope. There's something about that name that's different than any other name. Can I just tell y'all something about that name? Are we ready to praise the Lord in this place? For he told us to bless that holy name. Can I just bless you with that name? Are y'all ready to praise the Lord? Are y'all ready to give him glory? There's something about that name that's different than any other name. Pastor, just 2 weeks ago, we had a member of our church whose father passed away. We took a bus all the way from Fort Worth to Monroe, Louisiana. Filled the charter bus up going to Monroe, Louisiana. And I never ride on the bus because I like to drive myself. But this day, I decided to ride with my members. We got on the bus. We went over to Monroe. We were there for the service. After the service, on our way back, I decided there was one seat left all the way in the back of the bus. I had a busy day the next day. I had to do a deacon's ordination the next day. Had to preach that morning, had to do all of that. So I decided I'd utilize a little downtime. So the pastor went back to the hinder part of that vessel. Somebody's gonna catch that in a minute. I went back to the back part of the bus and sat all by myself. I sat there and began to study while I was on that bus. But then after I finished doing whatever I was doing, I intentionally went to sleep on the back part of the bus. Somebody's gonna get that in a minute. The pastor went to the hinder part of the vessel. Somebody's gonna catch it in a minute. But while my eyes were closed, I heard something at the front of the bus. Somebody said, "Go get pastor. We've got a problem." My eyes came open. Normally, I'm never on the bus, but this time I was there on the bus with the people that were going back home. Never would I have been there normally, but they said, "Go get pastor. There's something wrong." They didn't have to get me. I woke up on my own. I walked to the front of the bus. I said, "What's going on?" One of the nurses that was on the bus said, "We have a medical emergency." One of the sisters that's sitting right here, she's in her 80s. She's non-responsive, and we have to get some help. I said, "What do we need to do?" She said, "Pastor, would you call 911? Pastor, would you call 911? I picked up my phone. I started calling 911. The operator on one side was talking to me, but in my other ear, I kept hearing everybody on the bus saying, "Jesus." I kept hearing everybody calling on the name of Jesus. I could barely hear the dispatcher because they kept calling the name of Jesus. He asked me all the questions, said, "What's wrong with her? What's her age? Have you had this symptom? Has she had that symptom? I'm answering all the questions, but watch what happened. Then he asked the question, well, where are you? I said, well, I had to ask the driver, driver, where are we? He said, we're approaching exit 33. Don't miss that. Exit 33. Who left here at the age of 33? Don't miss that. Exit 33. Said, we're exiting at exit 33. We're gonna pull into a country store. So he told me all this. I told all of that to them. When we parked at the store, we were on a hill, far away. Somebody gonna catch that in a minute. We were on a hill that was far away. So the pastor got outside the bus and I had to stand on the hill because I was afraid that the paramedics would not be able to see us from the bottom of the hill. I'm standing on the hill looking down, but she's on the inside, non-responsive. But while I was standing on that hill, watch what happened. I turned around. There was a gentleman walking towards me. Nobody had come, nobody had left, but there was a gentleman walking towards me. He had a uniform on. He had a radio in his hand. He walked towards me. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. He said, is there a problem out here? He said, I'm an off-duty paramedic. He said, I was inside the store and I heard a call. Is there somebody here that needs help? I brought him on the bus and he went to work on the sister. By the time the paramedics got there, it was already under control. Can I just tell you what happened? I called 911, but they called on that name. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. But his words messed me up. He said, I was already here. Can I tell y'all about that name? When you start calling on that name, when you start calling on that name, his answer will be, I'm already there. I'm already healing. I'm already blessing. I'm already saving. I'm already changing. I'm already lifting you up. Is there anybody here today that's ready to call on that name? When I call on that name, something had to happen. When I call on that name, demons had to tremble. When I call on that name, earth started shattering. When I call on that name, burden started lifting. When I call on that name, my body started being healed. Is there anybody here today that's ready to call on that name? What did he do when we called on that name? He came and became a giver. Is there anybody here today that know that God is a giver? Don't fool me now. Do you know that God is a giver? He gave white to rice. He gave wet to water. He gave sweet to sugar. He gave bitter to the lemon. He gave hot to the pepper. My God, he is a giver. He looked out on the animal kingdom. He gave height to the giraffe. He gave size to the elephant. He gave stink to the skunk. He gave a hump to the camel. He gave a laugh to the hyena. He gave beauty to the peacock. He looked at the cheetah and told it to hurry up. He looked at the turtle, told him to slow down. He asked the owl a question and the owl said who? He talked to the parrot and the parrot said, repeat after me. God is a giver, but he looked on my dying soul. He looked on my lost soul. He looked on my messed up soul and he gave me another chance. I messed that up and he gave me another chance. And I messed that up and he gave me another chance. Is there anybody here today that's working on extra chance? He gave me joy. He gave me peace. He gave me hope. He gave me tomorrow. He gave me joy. He gave me liberty. He gave me salvation. And that's enough for me to bless his holy name. Then he said, the reason that we pray for the Lord, he is good. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his peace. In case you missed it, troubles will be your limits. Praise will water them down. But you need a name to sweeten things up. When God starts sweetening it up for you, he'll mess up your haters. When God starts sweetening it up for you, he'll mess up your doubters. When God starts sweetening up your situation, you'll have bad credit, but you still get the house. When God starts sweetening it up for you, they'll be wondering how you rolling like you're rolling, how you living like you're living. Then they'll talk about you and say, he must have, she must have a sugar daddy. Go ahead and tell them, yes, I do have a sugar daddy. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I tell the world that he's sweet. I know he's sweeter than a honey at a honeycomb. Oh, bless his holy name. Good evening, St. Paul. I'm not out of preaching, but I am out of time. So it's time for me to go. Let me go. Let's close. Lest they'll never invite me back. They say he preached too long. Where my young folks? Where my young folks? Y'all probably too. It's some of these, those in camouflage that I'm talking to now. There's a program that comes on, I think it's Thursday nights, called Scandal. And there's a sister that stars in that show. Her name on the show is Olivia Pope. And her duty and assignment, she's a fixer. Whatever the scandal is, she get involved with it. And her assignment is to fix whatever that problem is. And Olivia Pope has all the tools at her disposal in order to fix the problem. So what she does every Thursday, you know that something's getting ready to work out because the fixer is on that show. But there was a program that Olivia couldn't, and a problem that she couldn't fix that concerned herself. Sometimes those of you that think you got it going on like that, you're going to learn at some point you're going to need a real fixer. And that fixer, one Friday evening, he gave himself to a cross. He gave blood out of his side. They didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. They put him in a grave. And he said, start the clock on me, because in 3 days, I will be back. Matter of fact, don't give me a tomb. Let me borrow one, because I need to give it back. But when he came out on that Sunday morning, ooh, I could go early. I could go Southern Baptist on you right now and say, early. Sunday morning. When he got up. Matter of fact, I like to fix that. We say he got up, but the Bible said God raised him up. When God raised him up, he fixed it. Now I want to tell St. Paul something. That's enough to praise the Lord. That's enough to get excited about. That's enough to give him glory. Don't worry about your little problems. Look what he went through in 1 week. But he died so that we could have a chance. And all the psalmists said, when you come together, make a joyful noise. Everybody, come before his presence with singing. Oh my. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that made us and not we ourselves. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with praise. Ooh. Be thankful. Bless his holy name. For the Lord. God bless you. God bless you today. Celebrating 70 years. 70 years. 70 years. That's enough to give God some glory. 70 years. Matter of fact, we're wrong. 70 years, we ought to be making some noise right now. Matter of fact, St. Paul, hold up, brothers. Y'all help him out. St. Paul, let's do this. You've got some haters. Anybody that God blesses, you're going to have some haters. But let's give them something to talk about now. Let's make some noise like God has really been good to us in here. Come on, let's give him some glory.